Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we recap our favorite moments from New York Comic Con. We dissect Warner Brothers' schedule of films and the fact that Iron Man and Captain America will collide after Avengers Age of Ultron. Hello and welcome back to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. With me, as always, is my partners in crime over Skype, Ryan DeMarco.
Yes, Al, it's good to see that you finally got the intro right after the 11th time, so I'm proud of you.
And Lucas Jones.
Well, after not seeing you guys for 4 days, because you were at Comic Con without me, it's good to have you back. It's good to be back. And it's good to hear
all
of
our
listeners. It's back to be good. It's hip to be square. It's a lot of different things.
It is definitely a lot of things. And we'll definitely get into Comic-Con a little bit later and why our friend Lucas could not make it. And as he cries and cries and cries. But before any of that, Lucas, start us off, as usual, with our beer review.
So we are drinking a porter from Yuengling. It's called Yuengling Porter, from America's oldest brewery since 1829. And you might be saying to yourself, but wait, News Over Brews, what about Prohibition? Yeah, Yuengling kind of switched and like did something else during Prohibition.
They didn't give two shits.
Yeah, they didn't really care.
They made playing cards during that time.
They famously, after Franklin Delano Roosevelt repealed Prohibition, they, on the day after he signed it, they presented him with like a truckload of beer. And the reason that's funny is because beer takes 5 weeks to brew. So they had been brewing beer before Prohibition officially ended. So enough of the history lesson, onto the beer. So I picked it up just because I wanted to try something a little bit more mainstream for people in the Northeast. Yuengling is pretty much ubiquitous. So you can find it everywhere. It doesn't cost you $18 for one of them. I went with a porter. Because I like porters. As for this beer specifically, I don't hate it.
I don't like it either.
Well, no, that's two different things.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily hate it. I like Yuengling, and I think to me this tastes kind of like... It kind of tastes like Yuengling with dark malts. And so, like, when I first had it, I guess I was expecting, like, super-duper porter. And so I was a little shocked. But as I'm drinking it, I'm noticing something interesting. Is that I'm liking it more and more.
Okay.
Because I generally like Yuengling. But, like I said, it's, like, darker, not necessarily darker roasted, like barley, but, like, sweeter malt, I think I'm going to go with.
Caramelly?
Yeah. Yeah, it has that like typical porter flavor, but it's not like a very thick or heavy porter.
Not at all.
Ryan?
Well, I think you are embellishing it a little bit, maybe possibly being a little too generous. I don't like it. I find it tough to swallow. It's, as you said, it's pretty much Yuengling with a darker roast, but it's not that dark. It's just kind of like extra flavoring to me in a way. I'm not really enjoying this brew this week, but you know, they all can't be winners. I believe Yogi Berra said that in the year 1810. No, I don't think that was right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. It was definitely 1815.
Yeah. So I'm not getting really, I'm not enjoying it more as I'm drinking it as you were. I'm not really getting a whole lot of flavoring that you would normally get with a porter. So a little bit disappointed this week. But, hey, what can you do?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not... Like I said, I don't think it's bad, you know, on, like, the Lucas scale, which... Well, the News Over Brews scale, which is 5 is, like, an average beer. So, yeah. Like, 5 is what we would give, you know, like, something that we would drink if it's available.
Just because it's there, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would probably pick this over a Yuengling because I like the addition of sweeter malt.
I think I would pick a Yuengling over this.
So I'd probably give this beer a 6.
6.
slightly above average, because I'm a sucker for that, the dark porters.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that it's not super heavy, because, you know, this is the kind of beer that you can bring to a party, and you can have people try it, and they won't necessarily go, oh my God, that tastes like roasted barley in my mouth. You know, it's like, it's like, yeah, kind of like a gateway drug.
Well,
maybe.
Might be a stretch, but I'm going to go ahead and give this an even 5. Don't love it. Don't like it. Don't hate it. Somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very mediocre, which at times is worse than terrible, I feel like. Either it should be terrible or it should be just great. Mediocre kind of sucks. I don't know, but I'll give it a 5.
All right, well, there you have it. Yuengling's Porter. Not the best beer we've ever had, but not particularly terrible either. If you've never tried a porter before, I suppose I would recommend this one to kind of give you a sampling of a flavor
profile.
It's kind
of like one of those starter kits, like a build a porter type
thing. Yeah, I think we'll go with that. But, you know, I don't necessarily think it's bad. I just think it's I've had much better porters in my day.
I agree with you there.
So, yeah, that's the final word on Yuengling's Porter. Not great. Not terrible. Just
beer.
Yeah, just beer. Al?
Well, thank you, Lucas and Ryan, for always providing the beer review. It sucks that I didn't get the beer this week, nor have I gotten the last couple of weeks.
You easily could have gotten it this week, by the way.
I definitely could have gotten it this week. I can't speak today. So
I'm going to start calling you Handicap Al this week.
Yeah, please don't. I think it will offend some of our listeners and myself. So let's get into the first bit of news, but it's not really news. It's just kind of what happened the last couple of days. Me and Ryan went to the New York Comic Con. We've been talking about it last couple of podcasts, and we've been beyond excited about it since last year's New York Comic Con. And this year couldn't have gone any better except for one thing, and that was our friend Lucas could not attend with us, and Lucas had basically a stomach virus that pretty much took him out of commission the whole week, and mostly the week, and
from Tuesday to Sunday, the important days.
it was really rough and the worst timing ever, and we really regret that he didn't come, but that just means he's going to hit it hard next year with us. And a couple other things that we're working on right now that we'll try to make up for it, but we're not going to announce those until we know. Now, going back to Comic-Con, I'll ask Ryan. Ryan, what was give me top three highlights for New York Comic-Con for you?
Top three highlights was probably, I'd say number three was probably smelling all the stale nerd farts that I experienced while walking through the floor.
Did I say worst three or best three?
No, that was the best. Oh, that's okay. The best.
Great.
Just so we're clear.
Okay.
I met Kevin Bacon. That was fun.
Wait, nerd.
So you're now one degree of separation from Kevin Bacon.
I enjoyed my bacon and I wanted more. It was a surreal experience. You know, he made those classics like Tremors and Flatliners and Hollow Man.
Is that what you're going with? For Kevin Bacon?
No.
Apollo 13.
That's a good movie.
Footloose.
No, it was the best parts were, first of all, the con itself. It was amazing to be there again.
Such a stupid answer.
It's my answer.
Obviously, the convention was amazing. We said that.
Shut your face.
We said that already.
I'm going to jump through the computer and punch you 120 miles away, all right? Shut up.
I'd like to see you try.
Shut up.
It's like 82 miles away.
Shut up. You're 2 feet away. My hand can reach you. The con itself was, it should be noted that it is an experience in itself. 151,000 people were there. A time where thousands of nerds can gather, and also another time where thousands of nerds' moms can fumigate and sanitize and clean their dark basement rooms. It's a special time for everyone, but it's just such a gather. Monday when I came home, I was excited to come home because I was done with the city. And then by Monday night, I was like, damn, I want to go back. I miss the rush of just of, you know, everybody passing you by dressed as someone else, being someone else's identity, just going through the masses of seeing everything on display. You know, you can run into a celebrity at any point. The second thing was getting all those interviews, meeting all those celebs on TV and movie stars. It was surreal that they were just, you know, several feet from me. That was a nice experience.
And any specific people that you want to mention besides Mr. Kevin Bacon that you got to?
Well, Mr. Kevin Bacon, Michael Shannon from Man of Steel. That was fun.
I will find him, Laura.
We wanted him to say that. We wanted him to say that. He was an intense fellow.
He was very intimidating.
The cast of all these shows, Gotham, Constantine, The League, Black Dynamite, even. That was, you know, Michael J. White. I'm a big fan of his. It was something I didn't expect. The number one thing, however, let me say, was the number one thing is I just liked.
I guess, yeah. I think that was the question.
Wasn't the question? I guess just not being here, not being in Manahawk, and that was the number one thing.
That's a good answer. That's definitely a good
answer. Well, all right, now I'll reverse it onto you, because you obviously have serious, non-retarded answers. Al, what were the top three things you liked about this year's Comic-Con?
Top three things. The con itself, Kevin Bacon. No. top three things. I missed Sunday. I had a wedding that day, even though people kept telling me, don't go to the wedding. I felt like I should probably go to the wedding. I miss Sunday.
I mean, divorce rates are 50%. They'll probably have another one anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
But I missed out on meeting Kevin Bacon and the cast of The Following, and missing the interview with Gotham. We went as press with PopRate.com, who is, you know, that's how you guys hear us every day. Unless you're SoundCloud listeners, then thank you. The thing that I'll go with number one. You mentioned a lot of it, so I'll go with number one. We went into the con having six interviews lined up, possibly. We found out about a couple of them, like, on the spot, that on the day itself. We ended up coming home with 14 different, shows or different people. So, like, we interviewed the cast of The Following, Gotham, Sleepy Hollow, Bob's Burgers, Black Dynamite, Rick and Morty, Mike Tyson Mysteries, The League, and Constantine. And then I did a one-on-one video interview with Todd McFarlane, the creator of Spawn. And
that was a good time.
That was awesome. And, you know, he was promoting these Walking Dead building sets because Todd McFarlane, McFarlane Toys. And, I've probably missed a few, but it was phenomenal to not only, you know, go to these panels, but to interview these people face to face. Oh, I'm missing my favorite one, Kevin Smith and Comic Book Men. I've idolized Kevin Smith like practically my whole life, and he was 2 feet in front of me, you know,
talking. It's just surreal.
Yeah, it is. It is really. It's surreal, and it was such a great experience. It blew last year away. It was incredibly busy. We didn't stop working, but it was so much fun, and I can't wait to go again.
It was. We were so busy. Definitely, you know, Friday and Saturday was crazy. Like we didn't get. I didn't get a real chance to hit the floor until Sunday, because Friday and Saturday we were just back to back interviews. Had to go take a quick pee break. Had to go eat a stale pretzel. You know, little stuff in between, but you know, a lot of interviews, a lot of. It was just exciting because, like, you know, we got there. What time? I got there Friday, and immediately before that, I'm face to face with Michael Shannon and Nicholas Hoult and
Cody Smith McPhee.
Within like half an hour, I'm like, wow, you know, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't know what was going to come next. And like, as you said, we only had half a dozen interviews lined up that could, you know, wasn't like concrete or cement, but then we just jumped on so many other chances, and it was great. You know, I really couldn't have asked for a better time, and that makes me more hopeful for next year.
Yeah, like we found out about the Bob's Burgers roundtable interview an hour before the convention opened. We found out We snuck into Constantine and Gotham, like,
right.
literally, like, you know, hour before, like, not even, like, we found out that we were doing this. I only got into the League panel because I was talking to someone else who was doing press, and I mentioned, he mentioned that he was doing the Archer roundtable. He gave us a contact. We tried to get in. They couldn't do it. I said, hey, while I have you, is the League doing press? And they're like, yep, we'll put you right in. And it was just like, we just kept getting really lucky with it, and it was just an amazing time. Quick last question about Comic-Con before we move on. Ryan, what was your favorite cosplay that you saw?
Favorite cosplay was probably... There was a lot of characters from Silent Hill, the video game and the movie adaptation. There was a lot of, like, just really well-done costumes. I don't quite know the names, and I'm not going to butcher it for all the Silent Hill fans out there.
Who can't even say that name,
track
right?
me down and kill me. But if you look on popbreak.com or Facebook page, whatever, you'll see all these pictures we have. We have about 6 or 7 costumes up there of just Silent Hill characters that are just phenomenal. Like the I was even talking to some of the people that were on there, like how they made their costumes. It took one guy, he said, almost 2 years to put this costume together. It was insane. I didn't know how he did it. I didn't want to know how he did it, but it was just, you know, it was really, I don't want to use the word because I feel like people are going to think I'm like overreacting. It was breathtaking. Just looking at this outfit, I'm like, this is insane how much passion, how much just hard work went into this outfit. Just for, that's the thing with Comic-Con. Like these people, they wait for this day all year. Like they already announced the dates for next year. There's people already planning and probably already starting their outfit for next year. Like it's a whole side hobby. It's a whole like other life for them. They just so much passion goes into their outfits. They're a totally different person for 4 days. It's nuts. To me, that's what's crazy about it.
Absolutely true. I'll say quickly mine. Just the creative costumes, like people just thinking up something, like even like a mashup, and pretty much executing it. You know, like. We saw a guy dressed up as Ronald McDonald Thor, and he was McThor.
McThor, that was funny.
And it was clever, and people loved it. Like, this guy probably stopped every 3 seconds to take a picture because that is really, really clever because, the you know, his hammer was made of... McNugget boxes. It was perfect. So I think that was not my favorite, but I just liked these.
It stood out.
It definitely stood out. I like those clever costumes. And so that was just a brief, very brief recap of New York Comic Con. If you'd like to see all of our coverage, check out poprate.com because we got
our articles popping out each day.
Every day we're going to be posting different panel recaps and a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a shit ton of interviews with all of those people that we just mentioned. So they're going to be popping up every day for the next couple weeks, including some video stuff that Ryan and I shoot with the cast of Constantine, as well as Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, and Todd McFarlane that I mentioned before. So definitely stay tuned. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, popbreak.com, all spelled out, and then pop-break.com to read all of these interviews or watch them. And that was New York Comic Con. We can't wait. Thanks for having us. Absolutely. And
we'll
see you next year. And moving on to our next topic. And this is a very comic centric podcast. Lucas is thrilled. That's why he's falling asleep. But we're going to try to get him into this conversation. We'll start with a huge announcement. Stop sleeping. Huge announcement from Warner Brothers. They've announced their entire slate of films, pretty much not their entire slate because that would be ridiculous, but their huge properties, their franchises till 2020, including all of the DC properties. Yeah, they have it all planned out. It's insane.
I thought I was thinking ahead.
I know. So I guess I'm going to just read off, you know, some of the highlights and we can kind of discuss, this huge plan, and it looks like they're trying to rival Marvel, you know, obviously. But, I mean, this is insane. So let's start from the top. We have one that we already know was Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, which is going to be in 2016. But now joining that film that year is going to be The Suicide Squad, which is going to be directed by David Ayer, whatever his name is, from
David Ayer.
David Ayer, the director of the upcoming movie Fury, Brad Pitt.
And the masterpiece Sabotage, starring Jesus himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes. So then 2017 is going to have the Wonder Woman standalone film. They've announced that The Flash and Aquaman standalone films will be in 2018, and it has been confirmed that Jason Momoa will be Aquaman in that film, and then Ezra Miller from Perks of Being a Wallflower is going to be in The Flash. Dwayne Johnson is set to star in Shazam in 2019, while his Justice League Part 1 will be in 2017, Justice League Part 2 in 2019, and then Cyborg and Green Lantern will be in 2020. So,
you also, quick, you forgot The Batman, which will be 2019 also.
Oh, and The Batman in 2019. I had no idea. So, let's just talk about this plan. And there's a couple years that are going to have two big films.
At least.
Two franchise-starting films, if you really think about it, you know, with, like, the first Flash movie, the first Aquaman movie, Cyborg, and then a reboot of Green Lantern. They're all going to be, you know, coming out twice a year. Marvel's been doing that, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Marvel's been doing that since the beginning. Iron Man and Hulk came out the same year.
Yep.
You know, I don't have to go into their whole schedule of films, but what do you think, Ryan, as a comic book fan, do you think this is an overload, or do you think that DC is just trying to catch up?
It's a little bit of both, really. It's DC trying to rapidly catch up. Marvel has a stranglehold on the cinematic universe, and DC is just simply playing catch up. They think if they're acting like they have their act together, things will kind of come. I feel like it's just really forced still. They really have only made one movie to kind of get this whole universe started, which was Man of Steel. And now it's weird. It's just kind of like they made this movie, you know, they had this idea in their head, so they made Man of Steel, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, haha, we're making another movie. We also have like five or six other people coming at you. As much as they try to prove that they kind of know what they're doing, it just feels like it's really rushed. It's kind of half-baked, and I have no idea. Like, Marvel, after Iron Man, when Nick Fury popped up, they had that you know, that infamous cutscene at the end, and that really got everything started. You could tell that they kind of had their act together. You know, now, like, Man of Steel, all of a sudden they're like, all right, we have five or seven movies coming up now. Get ready. You know, I really don't know what to expect. I don't know if it's going to be good. I'm hoping it's going to be great. It doesn't feel organic. It just feels like it's really rushed. They're kind of shoving all of these heroes down our throat. Marvel, each year, came out and we're like, okay, we're going to do Cap and Thor this year now. You know, they started small. Like, DC's kind of just jumping in right now. They're like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to bash it because I love all these heroes, and I would love to see a Justice League movie. I want to see Marvel have some solid competition. But, you know, I think everyone can agree with that. We don't want to see Marvel just run away with everything. And, you know, we all love Flash, Batman, Green Lantern, Suicide Squad. Like, these are all cool movies. These are all cool ideas, and we want it all to come out great. But I'm not convinced. I need, you know, Man of Steel was really good. I need some. I'm not settled. I'm not convinced. I DC really needs to kind of wow us with the next, like, movie, Batman and Superman. Like, it needs to be flawless. It just has to be good. I think it's too early to tell how it's going to turn out. It could be really bad. It could be really good. I mean, I don't think it's going to be really bad. They see how good Marvel's turning out with their movies, so they're really, I guess, trying to put quality into it. It's just too early to tell. I don't know. I feel like it's forced. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, you definitely picked up, you know, a lot of great points. especially because DC's doing almost like a reverse Marvel, where they're introducing all the characters in one film and then spawning off later, whereas Marvel introduced them all separately to give audience like a chance to say, I like this, I didn't like this. You know, I mean, Hulk didn't have the best reception, yet when he was put in the film together with a different actor, they liked him so much more.
They loved him.
Yeah, it was because of how Josh Whedon presented him. So as long as Zack Snyder gives everyone a good amount of screen time, we can kind of see who we like and who would be a successful standalone film. But at the same time, it's Batman versus Superman. That's who we're focusing on.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a weird formula because, like, you have the, yeah, they're going to be throwing in all these people. It's just going to feel weird. Like, you've never seen any of these characters before. All of a sudden, they're going to have a cameo in this big movie. Like, you have to, they have to convince the audience to fall in love with these iconic characters in minutes, pretty much.
It's true. I mean, Lucas, you're not the hugest comic book fan, as we've always mentioned in every podcast, yet we always talk about comic stuff just to annoy the shit out of you. But you are a fan of these films when you eventually see them, you know, on Betamax or whatever you own. So yeah. What do you think of DC doing it almost like a reverse Marvel? And do you think they're kind of showing their cards too early with what they're doing, releasing all of these titles at these specific dates? Do you think this is a smart move from them?
Well, it's a smart move if they're behind, which they are.
They're really
like,
behind.
Like Ryan said, yeah. They're behind at this
they're
point.
They're about
so
10 years behind.
They're
right
skipping
now.
They're skipping the whole I was going to say phase one, but I don't want to get people confused with actual phase one. So they're skipping the first part and they're going straight to the Avengers, basically, which was hugely successful for Marvel. So I think they're trying to say, you know what, let's do the Avengers style. Let's rake in a whole bunch of money. Let's get people really excited about these characters. You know, let's show them 15 minutes of this character and 10 minutes of this character, and then they'll get excited and then they'll go see the spinoffs. I don't know if it'll work, because I don't know if enough people know the difference between DC and Marvel. And like, I'm not joking either. Like
that's an honest view. I mean, a lot of people.
I
don't know if enough people will go. I can almost guarantee you that when people go see Batman vs Superman or inevitably the spinoff movies, they're gonna go, when does Iron Man come in?
So true.
And then like, when does Captain America come in?
Then a nerd
punches
them in the face.
And then they're gonna be like, but I know these people. I know Captain America. I know Iron Man. I know Thor. I don't know this Wonder Woman type character. I don't know who Cyborg is. I'm guilty of knowing Marvel more than I know DC.
Hey, yeah, you're not alone.
But, you know, I just, it's a risky, you know what it is? It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for them.
Very true, and we're going to have to wait and see until 2016 when we see Batman vs. Superman, which is DC's power play move.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hate towards that film. There's a lot of anticipation. Honestly,
I think most of the hate is just because Ben Affleck's in it, and people love to hate Ben Affleck.
And it's so weird because everyone knows he's going to do a great job. I mean,
he has
been really redeemed with his directing of these films, you know, like Argo and The Town and Gone Baby Gone, and, you know, starring in films like Gone Girl. So I think he's going to be a great Bruce Wayne, a great Batman. And we're going to have to wait and see to confirm this, as well as see how Gal Gadot does as Wonder Woman and Jason Momoa's Aquaman. This is going to be a very jam-packed movie, and hopefully Zack Snyder can handle... He's done a team movie before, but nothing quite like this. So we'll have to wait and see. And we're going to move on straight on to our Marvel portion of the podcast. Obviously, we just talked about DC, and obviously, I say obviously a lot. So
for all you folks at home playing the drinking game,
yes,
that counts as double.
Whoever's been counting, yeah.
Yeah, and you
105
are,
for L.
And you were wasted at this point. So Marvel, I think DC announced this slate because of what Marvel did. And for those of you who haven't read about it, Marvel has announced that Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark, will be joining Captain America in the third Captain America film titled Captain America Civil War. And for you comic book nerds like Ryan and I, Civil War is Civil War is the epitome of awesome when it comes to the Marvel Universe. Back in 2000, I think it was 2006, right, Ryan?
Yes.
2006. Marvel had a 7-issue event series written by Mark Millar and drawn by Steve McNiven, my favorite artist. It was an event where there was a civil war. It was split down the middle. It was superheroes, Iron Man's team and Captain America's team, and they were fighting. Now, we're not going to get into the entire plot because we don't know if Marvel's going to change it up from the comics. They probably will in some way. But this is huge, especially because the last couple weeks, people have been hounding Robert Downey Jr. about not being in Iron Man 4. And, you know, not confirming Iron Man 4. He's been, you know, spreading rumors like he'll only do Iron Man 4 if Mel Gibson directs it. You know, we've heard that kind of stuff. But now, to put those rumors at bay, he's going to be not only appearing in the next Avengers films, but now he's going to be in Captain America with a very juicy role. So I'm going to shoot this one to Lucas first. Lucas, you're a fan of Downey's portrayal of Iron Man. And I don't know I don't know if you saw Winter Soldier yet. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen Winter Soldier. I haven't seen Iron Man 3.
Now, have we fired him yet from the podcast?
Seriously.
I was actually going to say is that I'm really far behind. And not only am I far behind in Marvel, but I know I'm going to fall behind on DC. And
just don't.
It's there's so many movies. I actually almost went to see Gone Girl this weekend, and then I didn't because I took a nap instead.
We gotta make you like more in the times, more relevant, Lucas. That's what we need for you. You gotta watch these movies.
I want to watch them, but I just
you gotta be involved.
No, I do. I do want to watch them because I want to watch the story. And, like, you know, I heard Winter Soldier was an extremely good movie.
It really was a good movie,
not just a good comic book movie.
Absolutely correct.
But,
absolutely right.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't have the motivation. Maybe because I know that I have until 2021 to finish the storyline.
What the hell does that mean? Is the world going to end? Yeah.
30 years old before Marvel gets around to finishing up whatever godforsaken storyline they have planned out. I kind of envision, not to get off topic, but I kind of envision that they keep like a small team of like 5 people, like 5 comic book nerds trapped in a room. And force them to write out this timeline from now until 2021.
Now until the end of time.
2029?
No, I said from now until the end of time.
Oh, okay. Holy shit.
We'll be 39 at that time. Isn't that crazy?
You asked me a question. I'm sorry.
What do you think about the Civil War?
Oh, so you made me read Civil War, and I really liked Civil War. It was one of the few comic books I've read. I think I read The Watchmen, and I read Civil War.
And he called it The Watchmen. I want to punch him fucking through the computer.
What?
Watchmen. It's Watchmen. Watchmen. It's not The Watchmen.
The Watchmen.
The Metallica. How about that?
You used to call Doctor Who like Doctor Who. Like, who was his damn name? So you shut your mouth.
Wait, it's not his name?
I liked it. I liked Civil War. I thought, as far as comic books go, it's like a fairly realistic portrayal of what would happen in society that's plagued by superheroes.
It's pretty
that's
true.
What they're so going cool. for now, yeah.
And like it fits in with their more gritty portrayal. Because I think I actually watched the first 10 minutes of Winter Soldier and then like some kind of middle 20-minute portion. And it seemed fairly gritty, you know, and I kind of like that, you know. I a special place in my heart for like the Tim Burton Batman movies, but at the same time, I really dig this new kind of grittier, more realistic.
You didn't say that. You didn't just give praise to the Tim Burton Batmans, did you?
So I think Civil War is a good storyline for them to get into. And also, if I've been reading my news correctly, they're trying to merge the two franchises, aren't they? They're trying to get permission from Sony to get Spider-Man into Civil War.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Good job, Lucas, because
yes!
This is beyond huge news. I mean, when you think of Marvel, you think of two things now. You think of the Avengers and you think of Spider-Man. And, you know, Marvel doesn't have any jurisdiction over the Spider-Man films because of Sony. Sony owns the rights. The reason that they rebooted the franchise so quickly is because they have to make a Spider-Man related movie every 3 years, or they lose the rights to the character. The rights,
which is a great way to pump out terrible Spider-Man movies.
That's right. The rights get reverted back to Marvel, so that's why Marvel gained the rights back. I think a year ago to Daredevil and all the Hell's Kitchen characters from, I believe, Fox, because Fox waited too long and they wanted to focus on X-Men and Fantastic Four. So they're like, all right, let's just kind of drop everything else and focus on these guys. So now that Sony still has Spider-Man, but the franchise is not doing as well as if they wanted to. And they're thinking, what better way to put a fire under this franchise by putting it next to the most successful one, with the Avengers. And Spider-Man has been a longtime member of the Avengers, and it only makes sense for this to happen. And this is going to go right into my question for Ryan. Ryan, you're a fan of the comic books. Civil War, huge, monumental event in the Marvel Universe. But as people have seen with the Spider-Man franchise and even the X-Men franchise, do we need to have these stories from the books brought to life on the big screen? Or do you prefer it, like the Avengers, to be completely surprised with a new story?
Well, I guess it's different whatever the story is. Obviously, Civil War was a huge comic event almost 10 years ago now. Dear God.
Wow.
Yeah, I just dropped the 10-year-ago bomb.
You ready for this? I bought Civil War the next month. I started dating my girlfriend, who I'm still dating.
Yikes.
Listen, Al, this is a podcast for good news, not depression.
Break that shit off immediately.
Yeah, seriously. I hope she's not listening.
It's okay. She's never listened to one of our podcasts.
That's all right. She's not sitting next to you with a butcher knife. Anyway. I friggin' lost my spot because of you two. I hate you. I hate talking to you two. Civil War was inevitable to be brought to the screen. It was such a huge event, and like Lucas kind of touched on it a little bit. It's comics of this age are now getting more grounded. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I guess, like as it went through the ages, everything is getting goofy and crazy, and then like all of a sudden out of nowhere, everything started getting more grounded, more gritty, more realistic in certain ways. And comics didn't change at all. They went with that trend. So now, naturally, it feels like a natural event that would happen if there were superheroes, masked superheroes. So it doesn't surprise me. This feels like a natural progression, for superheroes and storytelling. So the movies, I'm happy that they're touching on this. It makes it more real. Civil War needs to happen. If there were superheroes, masked superheroes doing all this, especially with superpowers, the government, the public, they would not just let them do their business. They would let them, they would want them to, expose their identity, blah, 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 blah. That's whole Civil War stuff. But it feels like a natural progression. In the movies, I'm happy that they're doing it. I know there's kind of a dividing line right now with the fans. Some people think it's kind of soon that Marvel's doing this already, since they're just kind of newly... what's the word I'm thinking of? Newly introduced, maybe? The new, it feels normal. Like, if in real life, if this kind of happened, it wouldn't wait 60 years before finally a Civil War happened. It would be relatively sooner. So, I don't know what Marvel has planned entirely. Obviously, I don't think they're going to be sticking to the pages entirely. They're probably going to be having some, creative freedom when it comes to movies. They might split up the Civil War amongst multiple films. We don't know. But I'm happy that they're adapting the Civil War story. I'm happy that they have Downey for... That could also be another factor, since Downey's time as Tony Stark, as most people see, is coming to an end eventually... within the next few years, they're probably going to want to get this major event done with him in it. And you know what? Honestly, I'm happy that he's coming back after Iron Man 3 in this instead of in Iron Man 4. Honestly.
That's true. We're going to see him in Age of Ultron. And then we're going to see him in Cap 3, which is great. I mean, honestly, he started this. He started the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. Him and Jon Favreau back in 2008, they they took a C-list character and made him a blockbuster sensation and started a huge, huge franchise in itself and with the Avengers. So the reason Marvel doesn't want to lose him, they fear if they lose him, they're going to lose a big chunk of the audience. And you know what? They should be fearful of that. But at the same time, you don't want to see a 70-year-old Iron Man.
You know, well, the thing is, also, he's not that old. To do it. I don't understand why, you know, people are so fearful for it. Downey is still a relatively young guy. I don't even think he's 50 years old yet.
It's not because he's old.
5 years?
It's not because he's old. Yeah. It's because he doesn't want to be doing Iron Man 10. He wants to keep doing new stuff. He's got his own production company with his wife. He wants to make movies like The Judge and other stuff.
I understand. You know, I think that... He's an Academy Award-winning
actor.
I know. And I hope he does. I want him to come out with a few solid... I don't want him to be doing Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes back-to-back, you know, for the rest of his career.
I would see that.
I mean, I would love that, too. I'd love to see Sherlock Holmes 18, but, you know...
I don't think I ever saw the second Sherlock Holmes.
Of course you have.
Why would you?
But ending my point, let me just wrap this up. I think it was a smart move from the being Captain America 3. I think it's better than Iron Man 4. It's more of I like everything Marvel's doing. I don't want to be a Marvel like I don't know, bandwagoner and like just they're great. I sound like I work for Marvel themselves, but they are doing so many smart things. Things that DC is not doing, but we were ahead of the discussion. This is such a good move all around. I don't know their plan. It's obviously going to be multiple films, but Captain America Civil War, as it's going, is doing everything right. And I salute them for that, and I just know it's gonna go so smoothly, and it's going to be great. They're even talking about adding other Avengers. I'm not surprised. Given the Civil War thing, we're probably going to see a lot more people. So
we're going to see three in the Age of Ultron. We're going to see Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and Vision.
You mean two.
What did I just say?
I think you said three.
What did I? But a title?
We're going to see three Avengers.
Oh, I thought you meant Avengers 3. I'm sorry.
Smack him across.
We're just going to hit each other tonight, I think.
I know. So, yeah, I mean, that's a ton of news. And we also had some brews, which is great, as usual. Obviously, I'm getting tired. So, yeah that would. What am I saying at this point? Okay. That was the Marvel news, the DC news, and the New York Comic Con news. But we also have some news over brews news. And we have a new Loot Crate Unboxed episode that will be coming out probably before this podcast. So if you're hearing the podcast, go on our YouTube page now and watch our exclusive New York Comic Con edition of Loot Crate Unboxed with news over brews. And Lucas, what is our next big thing that we're going to be unleashing?
Oh my God, we're finally releasing it.
I'm so excited.
Our series Behind the Brews, where we, the cast crew of News Over Brews, go inside breweries and brew pubs, and we go interview brewers and owners, and we taste beers, and we drink them on camera. You'll finally get to see the handsome faces behind the distinctive voices of the News Over Brews crew. That's going to be released this week also. So if you're listening to this podcast,
You have a few things to watch.
You have a few things to watch. Go clear your schedule. and that's going to be a monthly series. We are kicking it off something local. I won't give it away, but you'll have to go check it out. We really like it. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Yes.
We continue to have fun doing it as we shoot more episodes.
Yes, this is going to be a monthly series, and we're going to explore different breweries. I was going to say in pretty much the New York, New Jersey area, but we actually filmed a couple in Connecticut, right?
Connecticut, yes.
Yeah, and we're planning on doing some in Boston, mm-hmm. and we're going to expand. Delaware. We're going to do one in Alaska. No, I'm kidding.
We're going to be all over the friggin' map.
You know, there is actually a brewery in Alaska.
I know, but I don't have the money to go to Alaska right now, so I can't do that. Unless they want to fly me out, then I guess.
Part of our Alaskan fund.
Yes, we'll put the Alaska fund. Thanks, Ryan, for that. Useless bit of
you're
nothing.
Welcome.
All right, well, we plugged the podcast enough, and that's another episode of News Over Brews. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to our channel. We are trying, we're attempting to have the podcast on iTunes again. We are working out some kinks, so stay tuned for that. But for now, SoundCloud, popbreak.com, subscribe to our YouTube channel, watch some of our videos and our two new series, Loot Crate Unboxed and Behind the Brews. I'm Al Manarino. I'm really tired.
I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I already have a beer bottle up my butt.
Oh, sweet Jesus. And I'm Lucas Jones, and I'm kind of shooting for like a Guy Fieri of craft beer vibe, only way less douchey and with less frosted tips.
Thanks for listening.